Welcome to the Sunday worship service of New York Church, August 30th, 2020. Call to worship comes from Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. O Heavenly Father God, be with us, empower us, inspire us, as we listen to your word, and conform us as your God's covenant nation, chosen race, your precious assembly. In your Son's precious name, amen. Today is the fourth installment of the Water in the Wilderness series, and the title is Speak to the Rock. We are going to read selections from Numbers 20. This is the Word of God by New American Standard Version, number 20, verse 1. Then the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink." Then the Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses and saying, "Take the rod, and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and the beasts drink." So Moses took up the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and the beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me and to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Those were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. This is the word of God. The focus of today's message is holiness. First, how God exercises his holiness to correct his covenant people to prove himself holy among them. Second, how God exercises his holiness to save his covenant people to prove himself holy among them. First, God's correction of Moses by his holiness. It is the legal case between the people versus the leadership. They charged Moses being incompetent, for they have not delivered the promised land. Instead, to the wretched place at the corner of this deserted land with no water to drink from. They also charged Moses and Aaron of a dishonest character, lying to them of a vain promise of grains, figs, and vines and pomegranates, causing unnecessary pains and sufferings. If you were in the shoes of Moses and Aaron, how would you handle it? Particularly painful if the accusers are the very people whom you personally invested so much and made a big sacrifice for it, like your own family members or church people or trusted friends. Moses and Aaron, whenever they felt overwhelmed by the demands, not able to handle properly as two contentious bodies, and they liked bringing the disputes from the streets to the respective court, where the judge rendered the verdict, they went from the presence of the people, not run away or escape from, but to tackle the matter in commonly manner, to the doorway of the tent of the meeting, the tabernacle, and fell on their faces. My question to you is that, do you have that in your life routine? For you to have that system run at a crisis, you better have the tent meeting set up in your life and know where to go. Do you have that tent meeting where you present yourself before the Lord and where you become totally vulnerable, even fell on your faces in prayer? God's solution for Moses and the sons of Israel, for that matter, almost always bring them to the place of resolution where they can get the water, but not simply giving up the bottled water and crates, but to the place of a resolution. That place this time was the rock, where Moses need to speak to the rock and the rock will bring forth the water. It is like a method of triangulation for Moses to know where to find the solution. When Moses had the two coordinates at his hand, the first one is the people's charge by the congregation from the camp, and the solution from the Lord at the tabernacle. These are the two coordinates Moses needs to know, and from the camp and from the tabernacle. And with two coordinations that he knows, he was able to get the third location, the location of the third coordinates, where he'll find the resolution. Then everyone is happy and the end of the story, right? But unfortunately, things did not work out this way for Moses and Aaron particularly. For sure, they were able to bring the water to the people and their livestock. So the water issue had been resolved, but the way they handled the matter brought forth more sinister issue of their bitter anger toward the sons of Israel, the assembly of the Lord, the very people they were supposed to lead, but their leaders, Moses and Aaron, hated them, despised them, and tired of them. Can you blame them? Is it not a textbook case of a mixed emotions between love and hate? All we all felt at times to our friends and family members and siblings, church members and co-workers, is it not? Is it wrong to have their feelings? I don't think so. It is so natural to have their feelings. So God advised Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Again, this time, you should come before the doorway of a tabernacle, not because of someone else's sins and their problems, issues, but because of your sin issues and your hatred issues that you've been harboring secretly. Instead, Moses and Aaron, particularly Moses, made a public display of their anger and consequently disqualifying themselves from the role they thought theirs and geared themselves up for all of their lives for that role. Where did it go wrong? Let's analyze it by God's three commands. First, take the rod from before the Lord. Second, gather the assembly before the rock. Third, speak to the rock before their eyes. The rest, I'll take care of it. That was God's promise. Agreed upon game plan. But that agreed upon game plan by God and Moses was thwarted Moses and Aaron did good with the number one and number two commands. But when the moment comes to speak to the rock, like an annoying phone rings or disturbing talking by the people while the movie runs, Moses had to add his own unauthorized version by God. I guess seeing the people somehow reminded him of how undeserving they were to the water for which he and Aaron took so much trouble and pains and about to dispense. All his pent-up anger he had been suppressing, harboring secretly up to this point got a strong grip on him. For whatever reasons, Moses stole the scene from God and his plan and make him and his brother at the center stage. First, he began by labeling the assembly of the Lord, the sons of Israel, you rebels. Interestingly enough, in Numbers chapter 20, Bible refers the sons of Israel as a congregation, Eta, four times, verse 1, verse 2, and two times in verse 8, and also with the distinction of Kahal, assembly, four times, verses 4, verse 6, verse 10, and verse 12, by God himself, but never rebel. They were at the first test, rebel maybe, at the rock in the Exodus chapter 17. That was almost 40 years ago at the beginning of this wilderness school, if you may. Now it's the second rocky test at the end of their wilderness school. They're about to graduate. The sons of Israel are about to graduate from this wilderness school to enter the promised land of Canaan. And their effort, Moses and Aaron, actually was not in vain, because these sons of Israel, at times ungrateful, even in the contention with Moses, they initiated the term assembly of the Lord. In verse 4, they went against Moses and Aaron's leadership, but not against the Lord God. It is two totally different matters, but how often we forget about this distinction and assume the position of God. Moses, second, exclaimed, "Shall we bring forth the water for you out of this rock?" God's command was, "You and your brother assemble the congregation and speak to that rock." Not to the people, not to speak to the people. He made the wording in such a way, Moses, as if it was Moses and Aaron who bring the water out from the rock, not the way that God had designed. "Speak to the rock and I will yield the water." It was not their water. It was water that the rock yields. Another of their addition had made them the object of attention, not the spiritual rock, Jesus Christ, God who accompanied them. St. Paul has explained this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2 through 4. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Then third, then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. There are only three other times that Moses in Bible's record, and I think for the entire matter in the Bible, that Moses struck the object with the rod, because it is a very, very serious act with a grievous outcome to strike the object with the rod. The first occasion was when Moses struck the water in the Nile, thus began the chain of destruction and plagues in Egypt. And the second occasion is when Moses struck the dust of the ground in the third plague in Egypt. And third one is not in the Egypt, but in the, at the beginning, the first, that was, that was this Meribah, first rocky test. Moses struck the first rock of Meribah, where God stood, thus brought forth the living water for his covenant people to drink and live, and finally arrived at the place of Elim, where 12 water springs and 70 palm trees were waiting on them. That was the last time, 40 years ago. This serious act with a calamitous outcome, Moses and Aaron rendered it to ventilate their own personal anger to the rock. And the rock had to endure another set of humiliation, betrayal by the very leaders he personally vested and entrusted with so much privileges. And they abused the power. Like that is not bad enough. Final misconduct is that they did not even carry out the very thing God had asked them to do, speak to the rock. God had to render them incapacitated from their leadership role to the promised land. They disqualified themselves. That is how God proved himself holy among them. Second, God's salvation of Moses by holiness. Since I am running out of my time, and forgive me, and I'm short in the second part, but I trust that I'm just giving out to briefly mention a couple of points for you to find out from the Numbers text. First, God did not punish Moses and Aaron by not allowing them to enter the promised land. We need to distinguish between the consequences of sins and the punishment of sins. If God wanted to punish Moses and Aaron, he could have easily accomplished that. Just not to comply with the water part. Moses may have struck the rock, but the Moses disregarded the condition of commands. Anyway, there's no injunction that God had to follow up through his promise to bring forth the water. The angry mob would automatically took care of punishment phase of Moses and Aaron, but God did not. Second, God did not punish Moses and Aaron by having them to die on the top of the mountain of God's choice. I'm not going into detail, but it will suffice to say that God's testimony, treatment of his two servants' death seems to be the backdrop of Psalm 116, verse 15 and 16. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I'm your servant. I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father God, no matter what happens on our part, you never waver your responsibility to show faithfully fulfilling your promise. At the same time, you don't compromise at all anything about your holiness, your glory. In spite of all our shortcomings, whether we are at the ends of a people's side or where we are at times at the size with the Moses and leaders, you never stop showing kindness and mercy to save us from our sins. Oh, Father God, be with us. Show with us the rock that has been smitten repeatedly by us, but continuously accompanied us to save us, to bring us to the eternal home, your promised land, your kingdom of heaven, from on top of the mountain to the vertical to heaven, or horizontally across the Jordan River to physical promised land. Whichever way, we are already in the kingdom of God. Looking forward to your kingdom to arrive in full strength every day, every moment. Bless the hands that are submitted their offerings, thanksgivings, and tidings, and repay them many faults, because it is coming from your sons and daughters. And provide them with a seed and food, for they will never in shortage in both areas. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon them for the rest of the week, for the rest of the day, throughout the evening, throughout the day, throughout the night, for the rest of their lives, particularly as we go through COVID-19. Your Spirit's presence, sevenfold, be upon them, upon their family, upon their church, upon their work, upon their life, forevermore. Amen. Amen.